But let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree." That's some pretty straightforward. If you look at who he's talking to, he's not mincing words here. "Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Hallelujah for that. "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now flip over to verse 40. So you're going to see some things, and if you read the verses in between, they're not really excited about what Peter's saying. Verse 40. "And they agreed with him." And you have to go back and see who they're agreeing with. It's one of their leaders who's making a very rational argument. Gamaliel is. "And he said they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them." Just let that soak in. So they called him, and they said, okay. But if you go back and read, I get this picture. I'm sorry, but I love reading the scripture because it cracks me up. It's like, these guys, if you go back and read the whole story, these guys were so angry. They were so ticked off at what was going on. And we won't go into all the reasons why, but it's like, have you ever been in one of those situations where you watch somebody and they're like, they came to an agreement, but they had to get that final shot in? Like, yeah, okay, you can go. It's like, okay. That's what I take this as, because they brought him back and they said, okay, we agree with you, Gamaliel. You're a smart guy. That makes sense. But before we release him, let's just beat him one more time. You get what I'm saying? And it says they were beaten. And then let's read on what it says. And beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't understand, this is a ruling authority over this town. And you just let that fall however it needs to fall in your spirit. But these were the guys that were in charge. And these were the Hebrew rulers that were working in coordination with Rome. They had authority. "Do not speak in the name of Jesus," and they let them go. "And they departed from the presence." Now listen to this. "They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Man, that's some good stuff right there. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, if you begin reading, you see that nothing's new under the sun. So the church regularly has challenges. And you know what needs to happen when a church has challenges? Godly men and women need to step up to answer those challenges. We have some challenges in this church family right now. We need more people involved. Nothing's changed since Acts chapter 6. They had some disputes. They had some challenges. So they needed, hey, you need to go get more people to step up and lead. Look for the godly people. Look for the people that love Jesus. Look for the people that are already living it out quietly, and you get them involved. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 8. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. One of the men that they had called out, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, and you can see who that's made up of, disputing with Stephen. They were arguing with him. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. In other words, they couldn't get over on him the way that God was working through him. Please, I want you to look at this, because they couldn't resist, they couldn't overcome, they couldn't logically or intellectually, they couldn't hang with what was being presented, they couldn't argue, but nothing has changed today. But they were so convinced of what they wanted to believe that they weren't open to the truth. I've never seen that more true in our society than right now. Doesn't matter what you present, I am convinced this is what I want to believe. See, it's happening here. As we're reading, verse 10, And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him. They seized him, and they brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses. Focus on those words. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Now I love that. She's setting the pace. Did you hear her say amen? All right, Rashawn, are you training her? Okay. He is? Dude, I'm looking for praise the Lord next. And then hallelujah is number three. Okay? Are you with me? Come on, man. It's Father's Day. Rejoice in that. That's good. So here's this guy that the Spirit is so powerful upon Stephen that he's speaking, and these men that can't stand what he's saying are forced to look at his face, and they acknowledge that this dude that they disagree with looks like an angel, the face of an angel right now. Now, I just take that as like, that's an out-of-body experience. That's pretty powerful. Okay? So, let me see where we are. We just read verse 42. So let's go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Wait a minute. Yep, I'm in the right place. Good. Sometimes I get lost. I get so excited. Yep, I'm doing good. Acts chapter 7 to me, and I don't know if you've studied or read Acts chapter 7, but Acts chapter 7 to me is one of the most glorious presentations, and especially when you look at Stephen's life, when you read all that he's proclaiming to this group of religious people in Acts chapter 7, it is profound. I mean, the details and the dates and the things that he shared, and I just want to remind you last week, one of the things that we talked about was these ideas about spiritual persecution and defamation and slander. Let me remind you those five things. Number one, preparation. Number two, focus. Number three, being relentless. Number four, being loyal. And number five, proud and happy. Now, when you look at chapter 7 and you see Stephen's life, you can see some of these things represented. But I want you to jump down to verse 51. So we're going to go all of this amazing presentation. You're going to need to go back and read this. But I want you to see how he wraps up his presentation in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. After he shares his level of understanding about the scriptures and Yeshua, he says in verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, my Bible has an exclamation point on there. Okay? For all of you that you're English teachers and those of you that are English teachers, I get what that emphasis means. Okay? You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and yet have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What was their response in verse 27? Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. If you jump over some chapters you're going to see in this same book that he gets his name changed to Saul, same guy. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. Now understand, these words are being proclaimed while he is being stoned to death. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn over there, Matthew chapter 5. The record of extraordinary acts by ordinary people and what Stephen did to me is one of the greatest examples of the message of Jesus being embraced and proclaimed from his teaching. Let's begin reading in verse 10. Blessed, happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better example, a better living testament story of what Jesus is teaching than as the church was established and as men and women followed Jesus to see Stephen's life and to see the details of what we just read. Stephen is an example of what we just read in Matthew chapter 5. Now, this morning, I just want to be honest with you. There are a ton of messages on Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Honestly, these verses are much easier to embrace than the previous 12 that we've been looking at. So I'm not going to take a ton of time this morning on breaking down salt and light. As you can already see, I'm going to show you how these verses connect to the previous verses. I hope you will connect the teaching in a new way today, Stephen's life, as well as the disciples of Christ through the centuries are examples of how this salt and light verses apply. Honestly, I want to remind you that the strength of a text is in the verses that surround the text. And we live in a culture and a society, and I know that a lot of you have heard amazing teaching on being salt and light, and praise God for that. But how often do we connect being salt and light to being lied and slandered and persecuted, and that being our perspective of how we are salt and how we shine as light? And as Pastor Chris said when we started out, that doesn't fit the American model of church success by and large. So let me ask you a question. Was Stephen salt and light? It's your call. Was Stephen salt and light? I think you know my answer by the text I chose to read. I want to give you a couple of don't observations. don't observations. Please hear me when I say this. Don't try to remove yourself from the salt and light component. What do you mean, Tim? I hear people today, I don't want to be salt. Or I hear people say things, they don't necessarily come out and say these statements, but what they're saying is, I will conceal my light. I will conceal the light. Or, I don't want to be salt right now in this situation. My second don't observation is, don't try too hard. What I mean by that is, I will show them how salt feels. Some of us, some of our backgrounds, we've been around people like that. Oh yeah, I'm going to be Jesus. I'm going to put a little salt in there. And we've always got Bible verses to back up what we're doing. Or, let me figure out how to make my light shine brighter. You understand what I'm saying? What we have a hard time doing is we have this whole idea that either I'm in charge of the saltness, I'm in charge of the light, and so you're trying to keep your light from shining, which, to be honest with you, right now in our current culture, I see that happening way more, not saying, not talking, not standing up the way Stephen did, because we're trying to figure out, really what we're trying to do is we're just trying to cover our tails because we're more concerned about what people think of us than what Jesus thinks of us. And then what I see is I see other people that are trying too hard. They're trying to overdo. They're trying to like shove stuff in that doesn't need to be shoved in at the wrong time, and it doesn't need to be said or it doesn't need to be done. Or they're doing it because they're like, yeah, the Bible says, let my light shine. The people will see my good works. And then they're going to glorify God. Well, usually when you're doing this, let's be honest where the glory is focused on. Okay, so what am I saying? Let you be you. Let you be you wherever you go. Don't compromise yourself in your heart for God. Love God and love others. Be salt. Please hear me. Be salt and be light, regardless of the consequences or the outcomes. What's happened in the Church of God in America is that we've tried too hard to hedge our bets. I want to be a Christian, but. And I'm saying, you just be you. You be the real you. And if you being the real you means that you don't care about the things of Christ right now, I appreciate your honesty. You get what I'm saying? You know what hurts? The power of the Holy Spirit. And if you go back and read the beginning of Acts chapter 5, and then you read the end of Acts chapter 4, you're going to see some powerful dealings. And what the problem between the early church and us now is that lying and misrepresentation and falsehood has become so much part of the DNA of the average church that we don't know what pure honesty and truthfulness looks like. You want to know why Ananias and Sapphira died? You want to know why they were smitten down? Go back and study it. The church had a purity about it because people were just being who they were, and either they accepted or they rejected. They didn't accept and then try to fit in or reject. You get what I'm saying? And I want to encourage you that you be you. Wherever you are in your faith journey, just be you. That's what God responds to, and that's what our church family needs. It's like this. I wrote this in my Bible. This is not a new thing. This is a call of the church. Season it, shine in it. You can write that down. Season it or shine in it, or both. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it. By the way, who wrote the letter to the church at Colossae? Somebody say it out loud. Go ahead. Who? Paul. What was Paul's former name? Oh, the dude that we read about that was in charge of Stephen being stoned to death. You get the connection? Listen to what he said. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Our motivation to love him and stand for him, because he first loved us and gave himself completely, so that by a simple act of faith in him, Jesus, we can experience forgiveness, hope, and a new citizenship. Heaven is our home destination, and Creator God is our Father. Salt and light. In the context of persecution, lies, and false accusations, or slander. This is a teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the middle of this, and this is the upside down kingdom. What have we seen in all of these scriptures? Joy, greatly rejoicing, this level of inward appreciation and excitement that is a motivating factor. Why? Just like what Paul said. And other times Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. He understood what it was to murder. We won't go into all that. But first and foremost, he knew what it was to be forgiven, redeemed, and given a new citizenship in heaven. Men, from my heart, I'm going to say to you what I've been saying to you ever since we got together. Man up. Whatever that means for you, wherever you are, but what that does not mean is you trying to hide. You trying to make excuses? You being lazy? You not pressing into your relationship with God by faith? And you not being transformed day by day by the power of a living God? That's what our world needs. And ladies, I want to say thank you. Thank you for so many of you ladies where you've been faithful to Jesus when we haven't been. But men, like never before, it's time to step up. It's time to follow Jesus and give our hearts and souls to him and let the chips fall where they may. Some of you right now, you can think of times this week where you shut your mouth on purpose or you walked away from a conversation because it was going to be hard. I'm not saying this in a condemnation standpoint. I'm saying this because I've been there. I understand that. I have made those same cover my tail mistakes because I am more important than the gospel and my Savior at that particular moment. But that's also why we come together as a church, to challenge and encourage one another to love and good works. Father, we give ourselves to you. Father, this is mature teaching from your Son. These are not easy words. Father, I embrace them personally. My mind is reeling and I'm thinking about times where you were pushing me to stand up and say something, and I did not. I thank you that you have forgiven me for those times and that I've learned from those. And I ask personally that you would help me to do a better job today moving forward. To just be like Stephen. Just Stephen's example that we've read about this morning. Father, I confess to you that it just pierces my heart. And God, I'm asking you to raise up warriors in our midst. Spiritual war fighters, both men and women. Father, that we would truly be your church. God, we long, we're asking for something. We're longing for something that we've never experienced up to this point in our lives, Father. We don't know what it looks like, but we're asking you to move upon us and change us and transform us and use us as your church to go out into the highways and byways and compel people to salvation, to show them the way, the truth, and the life. Yeshua, our Messiah, our King. God, we're asking that you would add to your church today, that you would use this teaching from your word that would not return void, but that it would be multiplied, and God, that you would be pleased with us. Help us to learn to be the family that you've called us to be. And God, I thank you. I thank you so much for your patience and your love with us. And God, I ask, there's somebody, I know that your spirit is working. I ask that you would help that person or those people to respond to you today, God, and that they would experience your transforming power in Jesus' name. Amen.